serving ones, the ones who care not only for the junior high, not only for the children, but also for the young people, would be like moms and dads. You know, Paul described himself like this. He said, "I was gentle in your midst as a nursing mother." Paul was not ashamed to refer to himself as a mother. Last night in Fremont, we said even all the brothers are brother mothers. The brothers need to learn how to be tender, how to be nurturing. Paul said that. You know, this was to those Thessalonians only 1 year in the Lord. He said, as a nursing mother would cherish her own children, yearning over you in this way, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but our own souls as well. You realize that this kind of work with new believers and young ones is a work of heart, imparting our souls into them. You know, in the last session, we talked about a couple of moms, Hannah and even Moses' mom, imparting their souls, their heart, their burden, their vision, their consecration was imparted to them. The gospel got in and their own souls got in. I think that's awesome. We have a heart that's purified by the Lord's blood and cleansed, transformed. And then we just pour out on this young generation, instill in them the desperation, the concern, the intimate concern, the burden. And it'll impart to them the gospel sandwich. In this gospel sandwich is your own soul. This is how you impart a burden, right? It's not just go preach the gospel, go preach the gospel, don't tell them what to do, go exhort them. But you instill them with a burden, with a vision, with your concern. And not only are you imparting something weighty of the word of God, but you're also imparting your feeling, your burden. This is what the children's work should be like. Those kind of moms. I don't mean just physical moms serving in children's meeting. I mean everyone, high schoolers, they're moms to these kids. Those high school boys can become mothers to these children in children's meeting with an intimate concern, as we had last week, an intimate concern of a ministering life. The children's work is a great ministry in the church life. It is a tremendous work. Often we find it somewhere in the back corner, in the basement of the meeting hall or in the upper chamber, somewhere back there, and some dear, very precious, faithful serving ones, they disappear down into the recesses of the meeting hall, and we've not seen them for years. They went down there, have been serving, and somehow we haven't seen them. But they're taking care of the children. They're serving like that. So the purpose of this kind of fellowship, maybe this weekend, is to bring this work, this labor on our second generation, out from the back, behind the curtain, behind that wall or the basement, and bring it out and put it right in front of all of us to take another look at this. You know, it's rare in the ministry when Brother Lee or Brother Nee would devote one entire message to the children's work or to the young people's work. As we did our research to find everything we possibly could, where it was published that our brother spoke about this, we came across, there's two classics. One was the booklet that came out, How to Lead the Young People. It was published around 2000, and it has become I don't know what to call it. It is really a marvelous message, a word given at a very crucial time in Taiwan, but it still speaks. I don't know how many times you could read it, and every time there's more light, more adjusting, more perfecting. That was given in 1963. In 1985, Brother Lee gave a message in Taiwan, and this was during those God-ordained way days in Taiwan as he was laboring and struggling to have a breakthrough in the increase of the church, he gave a word. It's published in the book, Crucial Words of Leading in the Lord's Recovery, Book 5. And there's another part of the title I don't quite recall. When he spoke about concerning the gospel in the schools. That's how chapter 1 is, concerning the gospel in the schools. And of course, the way we're programmed in the Lord's Recovery in America, immediately our mind goes to the campus work, the gospel in the schools, campus labor. But you get down to the second paragraph and he begins to talk about the junior hires and the gospel on the campuses, the campus work at the junior high schools and the high schools. Well, by the time I got to the third paragraph, my mind had been completely blown. I'd never heard of this before. So I read on the next chapter, three chapters concerning the gospel in the schools, the junior high, the high school, and of course the university campuses. And then, like we often do, we consider, you know, of course, the junior high and the high school is typically after they have been saved and baptized and had a definite experience of the Lord's salvation and a meaningful baptism. We begin to use them and work through. I don't mean to use them in a wrong way, but I mean we bring them into a kind of function in the gospel. And then as we should come to this point, as we consider the junior high school, the high school, and the campus, then he came to a chapter concerning the children's work. And this was the realization, saints, and I'd like to mention this, and I think this has to be spoken 100 times before it may break through or penetrate our concept, is that in the mind of our brother, the student's work spans that whole continuum, that there were not three distinct and separate works. There's just one work. It begins in the children, and it goes on to the junior high, and there's a constant progression, and there's a building upon one another, and it's like a staircase going higher and higher. And what we do in junior high needs a very solid work in the children before we can do the junior high work properly. And then the junior high work has to be done in such a way that the high schoolers can advance and go on. And so it's on top of the high school, the junior high work. And so when they get to the campuses, the university campuses, you have them advancing even further, that each one depends on the other. In one place, our brother said, it's just one piece. It's one piece. He said the university students should be involved in the children's work. It's the same ones. Some of us that have been around for a while, right, Dale? They were like running around in our children's meeting, and now they're on the campus. Or now they're married with kids, having their own kids running around the meeting hall, destroying things, and, you know, that's how it is. It's just one thing. You work on them in the children's meeting, and they're going to be your co-worker on the campus in just a blink of an eye. It happens so fast. And so, saints, we'd like to have this kind of view. And it's not a pipeline. Well, a pipeline is not bad. And we've used this expression a lot, and I don't want to take away that expression. But it's more like a staircase. Like this, where the children's work is here, and based on what we do in the children's work, we can do the junior high, and based on what we do in the junior high, we can do the high school, and so forth, and we just go higher and higher. If we don't do this work well, it's very, very difficult to do this. Now we're doing remedial work. Now we're making up. We're trying to get them back, and then it advances, and we're still trying to get them back when they get to college. We can't get them back. And so this has to be our view. So the ones who serve in the children's work is the most important part. Often we thought the work doesn't begin until they get to a campus. That's not true. Maybe for the unbelievers we're preaching the gospel to, that's true. And we have to do that. But for the second generation, the work begins at home with mom and dad while the mother is nursing her baby. It starts. And then it advances. And it goes up little by little, year by year. And so there's a trajectory. There is a direction of our work that has to take place. And I believe this is so, so precious. I want to draw another illustration on the board. I probably did it last time, but I've been encouraged to repeat myself, so I'm going to repeat myself. I always like to draw timelines. I don't know, I think in linear, you know, two-dimensional. Is that two dimensions or is that just one dimensional? I don't even know. Okay, so we're here at zero and 25. And right about in the middle is about 12. And I talked to you last session about 12 years old, you become a son of the law. So I believe that a lot of the proper upbringing under the responsibility of the parents does not stop. You know, it doesn't even stop at 12. We're still their parents. We still have to parent them and tell them right from wrong and help them make good decisions. But our children's work is pretty much in this era, this section, this period, from about 5 to about 12, maybe 4. And this is the section that we called B.C., before Christ. Old Testament. Now, you say, oh, my child got baptized when he was 7 or 8. Okay. But you can't, they're still, you still have to treat them like they're under the law, if you understand, because they're still developing humanly. I wish there was time I could show you in Luke chapter 2, verse 40. It talked about the Lord Jesus advancing in humanly, in his humanity and in his divinity. And the measure of the divinity that was manifested on him was not all at once. It wasn't when he was born. All of a sudden, he could do miracles. He could, you know, feed 5,000. But the grace was manifested upon him according to his maturity and his humanity. His human maturity became a limitation to how much divinity he could experience. This is very important for us to understand, that they don't have the humanity to understand and grasp the spiritual things yet. They're complete. They have a mind. They have an emotion, a will, a heart. But they're not developed yet. They're not matured yet, humanly. It needs about 12 years for that. Don't be legal. 11 is okay. I mean, don't make this strict. But if we understand this, that the human development needs a period of time, and that's the focus, developing humanity, developing their human virtues, the part of them that is genuinely human has to be developed. Then the divinity of Christ, when it comes into them, somewhere around here, will have a vessel, a human vessel through which it can shine out brightly. This is very logical, at least logical to me. I don't know if anybody else, maybe, forgive me. I when I get on this, I feel this touches so much of God's desire to enter and occupy humanity and be expressed through proper human beings. It just touches something so deep. So our work in this stage is a work of shaping humanity. It's not teaching them. They don't need that much knowledge. They don't need spiritual experiences. It won't help them. In fact, it'll give them a false experience. Their humanity has not been developed quite yet. We should wait. We should wait. It's okay. So, am I okay? Okay. You can hear me. I in the last session, I'm speaking up a little bit. Of course, I'm getting excited too, so that helps. So this section right here, We use a verse, 2 Timothy 2:21. If anyone cleanses himself from these, he will be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared unto every good work. This is the stage of preparing vessels. Vessels unto honor. It's a stage of preparation. It's not a stage of filling. It's a stage of preparing the vessels, shaping them, molding them, preparing the vessels. I believe this is right. There's a need for that. In 2 Timothy 3:17, you have that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work. You have prepared unto every good work here. And so we assign that verse to this next stage. Now they're being completed and equipped. This is perfected. And they're men of God. They were formerly kind of vessels. Now they're God-men. They're regenerated. They're sons of God. And now they need to be completed by being equipped with the truth, with the life, with the gospel, with the church. Truth, life, the church, and the gospel, the four pillars in the Lord's recovery. And that's our young people's work. That's for another discussion. Okay? But now when we come to the children's work in the church, all the serving ones, we all have to be in absolute one accord on this. We have to see this, enter into this, and realize that when we're dealing with 6 and 7 year olds, we work on them in one particular way. When we're working with 8 and 9 year olds, it's a different kind of way. And when they get to be 10, 11, it's another kind of way. Traditionally in the churches, the way we carried out the children's work is a lot like school. We took the public school system as a model. And so we have a first grade class and a second grade class and a third grade class. And in another 10 or 15 years, we continue on this path, our children's work will be really a Sunday school. We will not have the peace to move that second grade child up to third grade class until they can pass the exams. I worry about this, that our children's work does not have the family kind of feel. It feels like an institution. It feels like an academic exercise that we're teaching them. We have to teach them and indoctrinate and educate them. But our children's meeting should not feel like this at all. It should not feel like a school. Should not have the flavor of a school. Should not have any textbooks. Should not have those kind of classes. When Brother Lee talked about it, he said there should be 3 levels. That means years, ages are together. 3 levels, and you divide the kids according to your practical situation. You don't need more than 3 levels. And you have a beginning level, an intermediate level, and an advanced level. It's all you need. And the teachers, they're not standing up there lecturing the children. And the children are students sitting in a classroom. Those serving ones are like moms. They're like mothers to these children, and they love them, and they care for them. And they prepare the lessons for that group of kids because they know that group of kids. Completely different kind of feeling. Well, when we come to this message, this outline on the importance of the children's work in the church, we come to this fellowship where Brother Lee gave a whole message about the children's work, the importance of the children's work. And so this whole outline is just that message. We felt to consolidate that one speaking, and we supplemented it a little bit with a few other excerpts, but that's what it is. It was given in 1985 in Taiwan. He began by speaking about the history of the children's work in the church life. In the past, we did not focus on the children's work. However, if children's education is not developed, it will be difficult to have a healthy society. He began by admitting, in the early days of the church life in China, we didn't focus on this at all. We didn't have this kind of thought. We didn't do this kind of work. It's only in America, you know, where there's this very powerful Sunday school culture. It began in the mid-early 1800s, Sunday school. Many of you maybe never grew up in Sunday school. I grew up in Sunday school. I went to those Sunday school classes. I I went through those Sunday school quarterlies and those lesson materials, those curriculum. But in the Far East, there was not this culture, and there was not this concept. So it was just kind of like for the saints. It was for the old people or the adults. The meetings were for them, and the children were left at home with maids or housekeepers or someone like that, or they brought the children and left them behind, and they didn't have the thought that the children need to be raised up in the church life in a particular way. This was their experience. But he says this, if you don't develop the children, you could never have a healthy society. You know, if you're a country, a nation struggling in poverty, in third world status, barely able to feed yourself, as soon as you have children, they have to work in the fields. They have to farm and they have to tend the cattle and help the family survive. But if you want to crawl your way out of third world status, you have to give up. You have to sacrifice something so your children can get an education, so they could go off to school, get an education, and begin to be positive contributors to the society. Now, we don't want to consider that the church life is a school like that, but we have to develop and cultivate our second generation, or we have no future. If you look around in the churches today, the median age is getting older and older. Yesterday, I was having some fellowship with the brothers, and maybe I shouldn't say too much, but in my locality, maybe 8 years ago, we had 140 children in our children's meeting weekly. Today, we have about 80 to 90. You say, well, what happened? What happened is that we're getting old. We stopped bearing children. And the number that are, we do have a lot of babies being born. It's not like we don't have any kids coming. It's just that the age of the church is getting older. And I looked around, you know, recently we had a meeting. We had a meeting of some responsible serving brothers in Southern California related to the young people's work. And we did a quick poll. How many are in your young people's meeting? How many are in your children's meeting? And we, among the churches that were represented there, we had over 900 young people in the churches. It's a lot. That's a lot of kids. But they also were telling us how many children they have. But I didn't add up the number, but it's substantially less. I thought, oh my goodness, we're running out of kids. It's serious. We're running out of kids. You have to go get kids. We have to stock the pipeline with kids. We have to fill this up. Otherwise, you know, 30, 40 years from now, our meeting halls will be empty and the cemeteries will be full. Because we advanced. We have to guarantee a future by doing a children's work. You have the campus work. Of course, the campus work. But how about the children's work? Romans 2, at the beginning, children's meeting was mainly to care for the saints who brought their children to the meeting. It was simply a child care service. Gradually, the matter of preparing teachers came in and we compiled material. From our experience, we feel that the children's work is very important. The children's work should not simply be babysitting in order for the saints to come to the meetings. However, the children's work has another function, that is to cultivate and nurture our next generation. This is worthy of our careful consideration and examination. Okay, so then he said, at first, when we began to preach the gospel, people were getting saved, they had children, we had to make some arrangement so that they could come to the meeting. So we began to have a children's meeting so the parents could drop off their children and more families could come to the meetings. Even in one conversation he had in Anaheim in the 80s, he explained to the serving ones that the first and most basic function of the children's meeting is to release more brothers and sisters to come to the meetings. Saints, this is a priority. is that we want the saints to come to the meetings. The meetings are the feasts. And it's here that we sustain our Christian life and our church life. And we need to have some arrangement that will allow more to come. This is the first and most basic fundamental function of the children's work. But now that you have them, now that you've collected them for 2 to 3 hours, you should do something with them. And that's why he used this word, cultivate and nurture our next generation. I always like to point out that he didn't use the word educate. Later he does say the word education, but cultivate and nurture to impress us that this kind of work is not primarily an education work. Romans 3. Okay, so now we have two functions. Did you see the functions? The first one is to release more saints to come to the meetings. Function number one. Function number two, and this is the second layer of the function of the children's work in the church, is to cultivate and nurture our next generation by raising up serving ones and compiling materials. Okay? Makes sense, right? Now we're going to touch another function. Three, the children's work has an additional function, which is to gain the families of the children. Okay. A says, children like to make friends. It is particularly easy for children between the ages of 6 and 12 to make friends, and they listen to their friends. It is therefore easy for a child to lead another child. When the children sing hymns together, the gospel is operating and spreads from one child to another child. Our purpose, however, is not focused only on the children, but even more through the children, we want to reach their parents and siblings. From this, we can see the importance of the children's work. The children's work is greatly related to the growth of the church. Okay, now let's talk business. The children's work, third function, first, babysit. Second, cultivate, nurture them. Third function, gospel. It's an outlet. It is greatly related to the increase of the church. Now, let's examine. Let's stop for a minute. Brother Lee is ministering. And we're sitting here, and we're all from all kinds of different localities. I just explained to you how our number was reducing from 140 down to 80 or 90. Of course, the kids grew up, and that's the explanation. But in many places, the number of children is dwindling. And here he says that the third additional function is that the children like to make friends. They need to bring their friends to the children's meeting. And through this, we contact these families and we gain them. We gain them. Our children's work never had this. Well, maybe I'm speaking too quickly. I'm not aware of this function being practically worked out, endeavored, prayed about. Brothers and sisters, this to me is absolutely revolutionary. This could change everything. This will open up the community gospel. We always complain that the community gospel is so hard. We go knock on doors. It's hard to get people. How many times we knocked on doors and even we got into a home and there's a couple there that were open to have Bible studies with us. And they got these kids running around the house and they're making noise and distracting. So they lock them in a back bedroom and turn on a television so we can have a RSG or a Bible study or a time with the family. And praise the Lord, the children are back there not distracting us. And we labor with this couple. Year after year, we're shepherding and we're feeding and we're trying our best to gain them. And we spent so many prayers, so much energy, so much time. And maybe after a few years, maybe even 4 or 5, we didn't get them. Meanwhile, throughout the whole process, These little kids in the back room were growing up, and we never thought about them. It never crossed our mind that the way to get the parents is to get those children. That if we just got those kids, brought them into our children's meeting, either in the neighborhood or on the Lord's Day, we could really get this couple. We right now in the training, we have a community team and we have a children's team. And this is a problem that the community team often has, is that the families they get into have children. So now we're coordinating these two teams together to gain these families. Not just the parents. We want their kids. Their kids then could be raised up by us for 10, 15 years. The parents may never become absolute, but we got their kids. Their kids could become very absolute. You know, this is the mind of the Catholics. They never go out, have crusades, and preach the gospel on the street corner or knock on doors, but they get kids. They get children. And they increase through children. Both Brother Nee and Brother Lee often commended the Catholic way of increase and encouraged us that this is the best way, this is a good way, is to get the kids. I don't mean we give up on the others. We never give up on people. But we have to think like a good businessman. Where the kids are easy to get. But his point is this: the children like to make friends. And this is true. Our children, as soon as they get to be 5 years old and they go off to either preschool or to kindergarten, they are surrounded with friends. And they all like to make friends. And we teach the songs to our children. And those songs are operating in them. And they may be out on the playground and those songs may come up in their heart and they may begin to sing them those songs. And their friends are listening to them as they sing these songs. And now the gospel begins to operate in them. And we bring them to our neighborhood children's meeting or to the children's meeting on the Lord's Day. And we teach them the songs. And then the gospel begins to operate in them. And we don't preach the gospel to them like we traditionally do and baptize them the same day. But over years of singing with them, telling stories to them, something gets in. Something gets in. They're cultivated by us. They're nurtured by us. And at the right time, we can lead them to Christ in a definite way, in a meaningful way. And we could gain them. But not only that, we gained mom and dad too in the process. Oh, saints, I would propose, you know, I forget the name of the book. It's a random book. It's unrelated to children's work. It might be the four pillars in the Lord's recovery: truth, life, the church, and the gospel. Messages given in the Philippines many years ago, 70s, I think. He has a section in there. It's just a section in a chapter, and Bradley often would do this. He'd kind of go off on a little bit of a tangent and begin to speak. And the section is called the Children's Gospel Meetings. Well, what? You know, mind blown again. Children's Gospel Meetings. I thought, saints, we should have Children's Gospel Meetings. What is that? Well, what do? You tell the children, we're having a children's gospel meeting in 3 weeks. You know what we do in the children's gospel? We invite our friends. And we come together and we sing songs and we tell Bible stories. We give character lessons. You need to go home, make a list of names of some of your friends, pray with your mother about which one you should invite to the children's gospel meeting. And then you'd share it with the whole church. Saints, we're having a children's gospel meeting in 2 weeks. We should pray for this. Our children are inviting their friends. So what do? You know, the children don't have the inhibitions that we do. They have no problem at all about this. You tell them to invite their friends, they'll go invite their friends. And so they make these invitations. Maybe they spend 1 week in the children's meeting to color these invitations and make these things. And then they go out and they begin to invite their friends. They pray with their mother over the names of these friends. Which ones should we invite? And then that Lord's Day comes. And the kids are all excited. They put on their best clothes. They come to the children's gospel meeting. This is our culture, saints. Right? Bringing people in. And then we gather them down in the basement. And we sing. And we sing. And we sing. Lovely songs. Enjoyable songs. The best songs. And everyone's singing. And everyone's doing the motions, you know. And everyone's enjoying. And then we tell them a story. A Bible story. A character lesson. The same thing we do every Lord's Day. We sing. We give them a lesson. Maybe we'll do a craft. And then it's over. We don't give an altar call. No need. It's too young. They're only 7. We don't need to do that. That's a children's gospel meeting. The songs will operate in them. But you know who else is there? The children are sitting here and standing up and singing. And back there is mom. She wants to know what in the world her child got invited to. And she's back there and she's watching these children sing. And the gospel's operating in her. There are some churches practicing this. Bringing a gospel kind of atmosphere and spirit into the church life. You know, the children, they really do like to make friends, and it's easy for them to make friends. And, you know, this is a hard concept to break through, that we think we have this kind of cultural or customary kind of thought that our children's work is just for our little group of kids. It's our little flock. And we're burdened for this group, and we're concerned about them, and this one's naughty, and you know, we don't know how to handle him, but all our attention is on this 30 kids. But all of these kids have 5, 6, 10 friends that could come. And this is why Brother Lee said in Taiwan and Taipei, go get 10,000 children. Now, our number is different. Their starting number was about 4,000. But at that time, only 500 were coming to the children's meeting. It was really, he said it was like the setting of the sun. It was. But he was trying to revive and recover the church after a devastating turmoil. He wanted them to do what? Go and grow a new crop. The earth is scorched. An atomic blast. Nothing grows. How do you recover from this? You go and you start. You grow a new crop. Go with the youngest. Go get the kids. Get the children. You know, we are all quite active and burdened for the old ones. We get a quick response. We can, well, not usually very quick, but it's, you know, we always focus on the older ones. And he's trying to turn the faces of these co-workers and elders and responsible ones to look at this field. Lift up your eyes and look at this field. It's vast. It's white. It's so easy. So this is the function. Can you believe this is a function of the children's meeting? Boy, let me issue a call. Let me issue a challenge. What church will really take this burden for the increase of the church through the children's work serious? You know, we all consider, and sorry to use this kind of comparison, we all have really consider our campus work is for the increase of the church. And I amen this. Amen to the uttermost. I have no problem, no hesitation, no resistance at all. We never thought that the children's work, even more so, could be for the increase of the church. If the gospel is not an aspect of our children's work, we haven't started yet. Now, let me take this a step further. If our 5 and 6 and 7 year olds are inviting their friends to the children's meeting, and even when they're 8 and 9 and 10, They're still, because year after year we have this children's gospel meeting. And in between, we're urging them to invite their friends to the children's meeting. You know, we have this chart on the wall where they get a star if they came, and they get another star if they memorize the verse, and they get another star if they on time. Then we give them 10 stars if they brought a friend. Give them an incentive, you know. Give them a reward. You know, the hardest people to get through on this are not the children, it's the serving ones. One place I've heard stories about their experience with this matter, the children got so excited that they're having a children's gospel meeting. Now, mind you, please don't take this and apply it in a wrong way. Don't go preach the gospel and baptize children. That's not the children's gospel meeting. I hate these kind of reports to get back later, you know. But the children's gospel meeting, they have families that have been gained because they came and they stood in the back and they watched their children sing and they heard these stories and they were caught. The parents will come. The children like the children's meeting. The parents will come. And that means that we have to make the children's meeting so delightful, so precious. With a heart, with a real heart, right? Okay, so we got function number one is to release more saints to come to the meetings. I expect that after this little weekend, more saints will be coming to the meetings. Amen. Because the children's work will be there to release them. And then second, that we will build up the children in their humanity to be proper human beings. We'll get that benefit. That function will be worked out. And then the third function is that through our children's meeting, a lot of children are being added. Last year we had 80. Next year we have 120. The year after that we have 200. And then we have 250. Eventually the parents are down in the basement. The children are right here in this room, huh? Send them down to the bottom. More children coming all the time. We never did this. We never thought of this. You know, we never thought of this. Don't think I thought of this. I never thought of this. I mean, I just read it and got blown away by Brother Lee's thought. The atmosphere and spirit of the gospel has to penetrate this work. It's not just for our kids. It's for all the kids. All right, let's go on. Then, so we at least we see three primary functions. Then he went on to say the way. Everyone wants to know the way. I know they come this morning, you want to know the way. I'm going to give you the way. Okay, get ready. Here it is. There is not a definite way to care for the children, to take care of the children's work. There should not be only one aspect to the children's work. Now, you know what he was doing? He was just turning the saints loose. Everybody do a kind of children's work in your neighborhood. You don't need to, I hope I'm not going to cause a problem here. It doesn't need to be under the coordination of the children's work in the church. You have a burden, open up your home, gather the neighbor kids, and have a children's meeting. Just do it. Oh, he was so burdened for the function of the saints, to release their function, to bring them into function, to become burdened and active in this matter. And anybody, you're single, you can open your home and have a neighborhood children's meeting. You're elderly, your kids are gone, your house is quiet, you know. And you long for those days when there was chaos and noise. Well, open your home and invite some chaos to destroy your furniture and eat your food. He just wanted, there's no definite way. It depends on you. What kind of burden do you have? What kind of desire you have? This was the word. You know, Brother Lee was always like this, to bring people into function. You know, especially in those days in 1985, he was really trying to revive the churches in the Far East through the God-ordained way. And so here he was. I mean, he was creating jobs. Every time he spoke, he was creating another field of labor, another opportunity to serve the Lord. Today I see in the churches many, many saints. We call them young working saints. Sometimes we call them young adults. Some of them are married with small kids, and they may not be that utilized. They're that active or that useful. Many of them have already passed through the full-time training, yet their function has not yet been brought out. And so the burden is to activate the saints. Oh, activate the saints. I wish there were groups of three or four moms with small children. They would come together and begin to pray and find a way to open this up. Coordinate together. Maybe they can't do it every week. It's fine. Every other week, once a month. You decide according to your capacity and strength. It doesn't matter. Maybe you just do it for 4 or 5 or 6 weeks and then you stop and take a break. It's not until the Lord comes back. But we should be active. And especially, right, this group, you know, like to see the function manifested. So, okay, let's fellowship through this Roman 4. There should not be a definite way to take care of the children's work. There should not be only one aspect to the children's work. And that means it shouldn't be just Lord's Day morning in the meeting hall. That's it. There should be many aspects. It should be in the homes. It should be with your family, your own children, with you as parents. That's one aspect. The neighborhood children's meeting, that's another aspect. The children's meeting on the Lord's Day, another kind of aspect. Many aspects. The children are getting it from every direction. There should be many locations for the children's work. Meetings could be held at different times, and we can also use different methods to conduct the children's meetings. There should also be many goals. The teaching material should also cover many aspects. Okay, you have goals, materials, aspects, locations, methods, all variety. See, we may think there's only one way to do the children's meeting. We should realize, no. Oh, there's 100 ways. Your goal might be to gain your neighbor, next door neighbor. That might be your goal. Your goal may be to build up the character and the humanity of the children that are coming to your neighborhood children's meeting. It may be for the salvation of them or for their families. And you have a goal, and you're praying with your companions, your home small group meeting or your home meeting, and you're coordinating with them. And this is now your goal. And so what you do has everything to do with achieving your goal. You don't just do it because it should be done, and you don't do it in this one way. Make up your way. Invent your own way. One family, I heard this. Their son was in T-ball. Another couple with small children. Their child was something else at school. And in T-ball, they had friends, and this other one at school had some friends, and they said, how about we get together on Monday afternoons at my house, and we bring these friends together. We bring them over, and we'll tell them a story. You know, they did that, and eventually, the moms and dads were coming. The kids loved it. They loved it, and, you know, actually, it was a brother. It was the brother who was quite active in this, and so the sisters can go, see, we need brothers to do this. But he would just wing it. I'm not suggesting you wing it, but he has 1,000 Bible stories in him already. So he'd just stand up in front of the kids, let me tell you a story about this, you know, and he'd just go off on this story, and the kids were captivated by him, and they said, okay, that's the end of the story. Go outside and play. They'd go out in the backyard, and they'd play in the dirt and drive cars and crash and fight. Well, while this was happening, the mothers were in the kitchen fixing dinner, fixing some food. This was in the afternoon, later in the afternoon. So then after, then they had a big dinner with all the children, the parents, and everybody together. And then they just go home. It was so wonderful, so nice. And it was just so spontaneous. It didn't have any form, no form at all. I loved it. I thought, that's awesome. Having many locations, their meetings must, this is point one, must have many locations. Every saint should open his home and have a children's meeting in his home. Having materials, okay. We've considered using videotape material, which some localities use. We want to produce a video that shows children from various countries wearing their traditional dress and singing the hymns. Now, when he said using videos, he didn't mean videos like Bambi and Littlest Mermaid and Disney kind of videos or TV shows. He meant make our own videos. And this was a long time ago. This is in the 80s because it was soon after we began to use the videotape to videotape Brother Lee. And that was kind of a real turn when they began to videotape Brother Lee giving messages. Today, you know, the trainees in the training, they have a Saturday video class, and they get to watch Brother Lee. You know, these trainees that are now in the training, average age is 22. Brother Lee died, how many years ago? 17 years ago? They were five. They've never saw him. But praise the Lord, the videotapes, they can see him. Well, so this was new. And so Brother Lee was proposing this. Wow, what if we made a videotape of a children's meeting in Berkeley, children's meeting in Mexico City, maybe another one from Moscow, Ghana, Accra, Ghana. How about Addis Ababa in Ethiopia, Pretoria, South Africa? Oh, from Kiev, the Ukraine. And they're all wearing their traditional clothes, Indonesia and Japan and Korea. And we got 10 minutes of this, an opening, maybe a song that we all sing, the same tune, and we have a little lesson, you know, we can see them in their language giving the lesson in the class, and we could watch this. And we have some server somewhere. Let me dream with you, a server. You know, we've heard of that. And you've got 50 of these. Easy. We could get 100, I think, easy. Sao Paulo, Brazil. And you put them up there. 10-minute clip. Every Lord's Day morning, you show one clip of one country, of one group, and you show it to the children, and you show them how there's children all over the earth loving the Lord, singing the same songs we do, enjoying the Lord. This would leave a deep impression on them. Another thought was to prepare some videos that we could use for lessons or for singing. And some brothers have done this, have prepared some materials like this. Having many purposes, okay, we talked about this already. We can also contact the children's parents and preach the gospel to them and to their relatives. This is the principle of our gospel work. The more people we contact, the better. So the children's work is a gospel work. This is a hard thing to break through. Hard thing. We have to help all the responsible ones who oversee the children's work to pray over this a lot, not just do a routine work. Sadly, in most of the churches, the children's work has become kind of a routine. It doesn't have this spirit, this burden for the gospel, for the increase of the church. But how positive would it be if we had hundreds of children in our children's meeting every week? Then for sure we could guarantee throngs of young people. Of course, it also invites a lot of complication and problems too, doesn't it? But praise the Lord, these are the kind of problems that we all would like to have. Point four, having many ways. The households with children can take advantage to open their homes and ask their children. They ask their children to invite their other children in the neighborhood. The children can watch the children's videotapes, sing children's songs, or listen to a story. This is the way to have a children's meeting once a week. Maybe I told you this, or if you've listened to some of the videotapes or some of the audios, you heard this. For a number of years now, going to London for the full-time training there, teaching the classes and covering all of these things, a number of saints were really stirred up to work out some of these things. And they have a good team that is now working together to compile some materials and to practice opening up their homes. And there's a number of very, very precious testimonies that have come out of that. One brother, he has three boys, of course, and a wife. And he, you know, we just need to do this. So they decided once a month they could open their home. They don't, you know, they didn't have a big capacity and they didn't have a lot of faith. But him and his boys, they sat down and they drew some invitations on paper with color crayons. Friday afternoon, 3 o'clock, our address, come. Bible stories and character lessons. They didn't try to veil it or hide it or conceal it or twist it or make it sound like something else. Bible stories. That's what we do. If you don't like it, it's okay. You don't need to come. But there's a lot of people who like it. They want to come. So Bible stories and character lessons, 3 o'clock Friday afternoon. And then he went out with his boys and they put these, you know, they went on to their neighbors. Just I think they did five, you know, only five. And they went to the neighbors around their house. And then Friday, 3 o'clock comes. Friday they get up. It's like, oh, Lord Jesus. What if somebody comes? And they thought, oh, no, nobody's going to come. Well, sure, lo and behold, 3 o'clock, two kids are walking down the street, and they're looking out the window. They think, are they coming to our house? And then a little while later, three more come across the street. They had five that first time. And he said it was so easy. It was so easy. And all five of them wanted to come to the children's meeting on the Lord's Day with them. They live real close to Bauer House, and so they brought them up to Bauer House on that Lord's Day. But they were testifying how simple. And you know what he did? He has, let's see how old his boys are. His boys are like 10, 7, and 5, something like this, or maybe 9, 6, and 4, something like that. Anyway, he had the older son. They prepared a little PowerPoint lesson on a notebook computer. And so the older boy gave the lesson. And the middle boy pressed the key to advance to the next. He brought there his own kids to serve in the neighborhood children's meeting. I thought, you know, now that, you know, I would have never thought of that. But I love that. And we should do all kinds of things like this to develop this matter of bringing our children, bringing them into function, and especially in this matter of gaining others. How's the time? Okay. Having different times. It is best to have different meeting times for the children's meeting. The schedule should be flexible. He thought that a lot of kids can't come on the Lord's Day, but they could come on a Saturday, or they could come Wednesday after school. So we have to do it to get the most. The schedule should be flexible. We need to utilize the time when the children are out of school to have a children's meeting. Okay, point B, the way to carry out, now he talks about the way. Don't you love Brother Lee? He goes, first of all, there's no way, now the way. He did this so many times. He said, we need to have the children's meeting. Don't do Sunday school. He'd always start with what not to do. And then he goes, okay, now do this. One time, I'd love to tell this. The sisters in Chifu, they said, what should we teach the children? He said, don't teach. Don't teach. You know, and like us, they go like, okay, Brother Lee, don't teach. Okay, so we're not going to teach them. What should we do? And they said again, don't teach. I'm reading a transcript. Don't teach them. Oh, Yeah. We won't teach them. Don't teach. Then, now they're afraid to ask. What do we do? So, okay, if we don't teach them, what do we do? Third time, he says, don't teach. I think that would leave a deep impression, don't you? He didn't want them to teach. We all like to teach. As soon as we get up in front of an audience, you know, our finger comes out and we like to teach. And so I wish that kind of word could get deeply impressed into us. All the sisters who serve in the children's meeting, take that out of your arsenal. Don't teach. Then ask, what should I do? I don't know. But don't teach them. Show them. Illustrate. Act it out. Inspire them. Don't teach them. We like to teach the Bible, like to teach them the stories, like to teach them this and that, and tell them, week two, Jesus died on a cross. Week three, Cain killed Abel. Week four, this, and it's all in a schedule, and we love it because it's in our book. It's in our binder, and we got lesson. Oh, what are we on this week? Oh, okay. Praise the Lord, I can do that. And we teach, and we teach, and we got facts to teach. Have you seen all the facts to teach? 10 facts to teach? Oh, if you're a teacher, you have a conscience, and your lesson has 10 facts to teach. Have you seen these lessons? Sorry, now I'm really being bad. All these facts to teach, and you got 10 of them, and I'm a teacher. I have a conscience. I don't feel like I've done my job unless I've taught all 10 of these facts to teach. This kid's not going to graduate. We can't promote him to the next grade. This is why I said before, you know, we're going to have a problem in a few years. If we stay on this line, okay, so are y'all confused? Don't teach? What should we do? Well, you have to come to the next session. That's my sales pitch. I know you want to leave after lunch. You've been planning that all day. All right. The way to carry out the children's work depends on the brothers taking the lead in the children's work. You know how the brothers in Austin required an elder to go to Austin for the apprenticeship? Before they would accept a team, right? One of the elders had to be there. It's because this work has to get into the elders' meeting. It has to be represented by the leading brothers in the church. The same is true with the children's work. The young people's work is the same. If it's not represented in that meeting, if there's not a voice for the work, the brothers will forget about it. They'll forget. It's quiet in here. They forgot. Oh, there's like 100 children downstairs, and they've set the building on fire. But as long as we don't hear them and they're not a problem, we forgot about them. We forgot the burden. We forgot the vision. So there has to be someone taking the lead in all the churches that will beat this drum, blow this trumpet, and sound out this message, because we'll forget, oh, the gospel through the children's work, and all the other points that we need to get into. We should not make any special arrangement. Okay, now I have to explain this point. We should not make any special arrangements to get teachers for the children's meetings in the meeting halls. Rather, we should find a number of younger brothers and sisters who meet regularly to be the teachers. This kind of service does not require much manpower. Okay. He wanted 10,000 children in the children's work in Taiwan. He wanted 500 homes opened up with 20 children in each home. How many is that? Is that 500 times 20? Is that 1,000? No. That's 10,000. Okay, good. The gears turn a little slower than they used to. 500 homes to be open. Children's meeting on Wednesday afternoon, Thursday afternoon, Friday afternoon, all over the city, in all the apartments, high-rises, everywhere. then when we come on the Lord's Day, we didn't need to do that big of a work. And especially in Taiwan, you go to Taipei, you visit some of the halls there. The meeting halls are just a big room. Not like this, where you have children's meeting rooms and classrooms. They didn't have anything like that. They just had a big room. So they said the children's meeting on the Lord's Day can be, you just gather them all together in one place with a few saints that will oversee them, young people, to sing with them, to play a video or something like that with them. And that's good enough. That's the context of this point. But in our case, in America, if we don't have a children's meeting, a viable children's meeting or children's work on the Lord's Day, it's very hard to gain people because they all want something for their children. If we don't take care of their children, they will not come to our meetings. So this makes it imperative that in addition to the week, we have to do something on the Lord's Day. Point two, we need to prepare material for the children's meeting. We should not have the children's meeting without preparation. The brothers taking the lead in the children's work need to write and compile material, but the saints can decide the best way to use it. The next session, we're going to be on compiling material, so we'll get into this deeper. If some saints are designated to prepare teaching material, the saints will not need to labor that much. It's not that intense. We can give only some principles related to the children's work. It is up to the saints to carry them out. I like these two lines. The end of point A says the saints can decide the best way to use it. And the last part of point B says it's up to the saints to carry them out. That means that the way we compile lessons should not be so detailed, A to Z, covering every detail with 10 facts to teach, with all the background there, everything there. We should just give them some principles, train them, perfect them, how to find the best illustrations, give them the topic, maybe a memory verse, and let them pray, consider, prepare, and come. This is the way. You know, you all probably know this. Brother Gene gave Gene Gruler gave an outline years and years ago. He prepared an outline that covered 6 years, and it was just an outline. It was very sparse. And his burden was that the saints would come together and pray and prepare over this week. We're on this outline point. It was just one point, but they had to endeavor. And then what happened is the churches began to increase and the numbers were coming in and there were saints that were being added with big families that didn't have a background in the Bible. They didn't know the Bible stories. They didn't know how to teach these points or these lessons. And so these other brothers, these additional brothers, did a tremendous labor for maybe 2 years to take Brother Gene's outline and then fill it out with a lot of background from the life study, the ministry, a burden, and all those kind of facts to teach. And Brother Gene actually, he warned the brothers and said, if you give the teachers, the serving ones, too much, they'll stop praying. They won't prepare. They won't fellowship. They'll just come. And but still, there was this urgent need to assist the serving ones. And eventually, this is what's being played out right now, is that a lot of the brothers and sisters, they come and serve without hardly any kind of preparation or consideration. So we really need to have a turn back. The saints need to be trained, perfected, and then they could prepare and decide how to teach that lesson. Point three, the children's meeting should be in many locations at different times and use different methods. We hope that all the saints will pray concerning this matter and not take it lightly. This requires everyone's cooperation. The heading in this section of the message is prayer and coordination. You know, when we began this point B, it talked about the brothers taking the lead. The way for us to go forward is by prayer and coordination. It would be so good if in church after church, there was a group of saints, couples perhaps, 4, 5, 6, 8, who had a burden to see this worked out, to labor in a specific and definite way. We realize that all the brothers and sisters, this is not their portion. It's not been measured to them. But there are some that are being specifically burdened. How good if they would come together to pray. I would strongly encourage this, to come together maybe once a week. Read one of those chapters in that book, Raising Up the Next Generation, together. Pray and fellowship. Read and fellowship more. Discuss. And then coordinate. Coordinate. See what could be worked out. See what will issue out. Prayer and coordination, saints. It's not a method. You might be disappointed that I didn't give you the steps and the how-tos. We never got that from Brother Lee, and so I don't think I should start. Anyway, how about I stop here? I wonder if there would be some feeling from you to respond, to comment, to share something before we end the session in 10 minutes. Maybe we could pray with our neighbor for about a minute, and then we'll open it up for some sharing, okay? I think the brothers will run around. We'll bring mics to you. Just stand up where you are, and the brothers will bring a mic to you. Okay, let's pray. And
one thing Brother Tom mentioned was this statement. He talked about a gospel sandwich. And he said, in this gospel sandwich is your own soul. When you are with the children and when you nurture them, when you put something into them, he says, you instill them with your burden, your vision. You impart your feeling. And he said the children's work is a great ministry in the church life. And he mentioned how how it really starts with the parents in the church life. And it brought back a memory that I often tell of when I was little. And my sister and I, we have the same memory, I think. We were always in the Lord's table with our family. And there were 7 children. My dad was on one side. My mom was on the other. And I remember being, I think, 4 years old, 3 or 4, and I was sitting on my dad's lap, and he had his little flock hymn book, his little tiny hymn book, and the words, we were singing a hymn, and I remember how sweet it felt just to be in his arms, and to be sitting there in what I knew, even though I was little, I had this sense, this is where I need to be. This is my privilege and this is my responsibility to remember the Lord on the Lord's Day. And as he moved his finger up and down the lines of the song, I felt so smart. I thought, I can almost read those words. Well, eventually I learned the songs, but I think the feeling is what really stuck with me, how precious it was that my father, you know, that was so important to him. The Lord was so important to him. And that feeling he had and that love he had for the Lord got into me. Amen. Amen.
Okay. share what I enjoyed as well when I looked into this matter. How was Jesus with the children? He had a definite role. And the children, the parents were always trying to bring their children to Jesus. But they were rebuked. But his response was so sweet. It says, he said, bring them to me, bring them to me. And he loved them fervently, fervently. I said, wow, this is a real test to me. How fervently are we loving our children? And desiring and going over all these hurdles to get them to the Lord. This is the experience they need. And I just forgot the other one I was going to share. And then Jesus said to the disciples, he said, unless you become like children, you won't enter the kingdom. So that's a test to us as adults. Can we be childlike? Can we just run to the Lord like the children? Are we old in our ways? We're set. We're settled. We don't want to be there. That's not the living life of the Lord who's ever new. So just pursue him.
My entire life I've wanted to be a mother. I can remember wanting to be a mother when I was a baby. It's just who I was wanting to be. But I also fell in love with the Lord. And being a mother meant that I wanted to bring children to the Lord. I wanted these children to find the very God that I was in love with. It's hard to explain, but anyway, so I ended up marrying someone that wasn't in the church life and having four children with him, but the fourth child, some of the saints here know this story, but the fourth child happened because I couldn't get pregnant again, and so I prayed Hannah's prayer. I prayed Hannah's prayer. And then my husband, not being in the church life, named my son Samuel. But because of the fact that my husband was in the church life, the only church life I had was on the phone with Leslie. Thank you very much. And at home with my children. That was the only church life I had because I wasn't allowed to go. The church life was the home life. I didn't have another option. My children were raised daily in the church life because I was desperate. They had to be my church life because there wasn't anything else. But that's one side. The other thing is that I really appreciated the vessel. I really liked what the brother shared about what are your rules, right? My number one rule with my children: don't lie to me. Don't lie to me. Number two on the list after not lying was honor your parents. Number three was respect your elders. Number four was be polite in general. And number five was do your chores. Wash those dishes. None of that includes the Lord. All of it includes creating a vessel. It reminds me when I was in children's meeting way back when, right, Barbara? When I was in children's meeting way back when, they brought a cup out and they said, what happens to this vessel? And you pour water in it. What happens to this vessel when you poke a hole in it? You cannot have a proper expression of the Lord if you haven't prepared the vessel first. We need to prepare our children for the Lord to be contained in them. We need to make them something that is something useful for Him. And then the third thing that I really appreciated is also, well, there's a lot more, but the friends. Because the church life was always in the home, in our house. That's where the church life was. And then because the home was open for all of the neighborhood children, we've had, child after child after child touching the Lord through the home. The friends really do come. And they really do get something. You may not be able to keep. It's like sales work. You don't keep everything. You lose some, but you do keep some. And keeping some is really is where it is. And all of this because I want my children to bring the Lord back. I want them to be the, I want to see the Lord come back. I don't want to die without seeing that happen. Sorry. But so if my generation lost so many, in my generation in the church life, we lost 4 out of 5. We got a couple back, but we lost so many. We need to keep this generation. Amen. We need to keep them. If we don't keep them, we're not going to see His return. So, anyway, Lord Jesus.
Praise the Lord. I really appreciate the fact, don't teach, but just love. I realize in raising up children through the brother speaking that actually we really need to love. Do children know who loves them? Actually, children know. Much teaching can destroy them. But the demonstration of love in practical ways help to raise up children. Presently, I'm currently working with a family from Uganda. They learned about my children, the way they were raised up. So they said they want me to help them to know how to raise up their children in that way. They have 4 kids. We have had 3 meetings, and we are going to have another one much later today on how to raise up children. The first meeting, I told them, well, I don't know how I raise up my children. But I know that we were having meetings in my home. And that is the only thing I can tell you. But we need to love our children. When we love our children indiscriminately, that is, without any condition, our children will love to follow the Lord. My first goal was that, one, since I fell in love with the Lord, I have to be absolute. Everything that we are doing in our home has to include the children. Even some may be misbehaving, that doesn't really matter. We just have to love. I don't know, the brother was stressing, I just feel that it should go on more and more on the way to really demonstrate, put into practice genuine love for our children, genuine concern for the church, genuine concern for the body of Christ. This will help to raise the next generation. Praise the Lord.
Thank you. We'll use the mic. Hallelujah. So we're so thankful to see this vision of our children as vessels and what the Lord is doing to prepare these vessels. And also to be open up to this matter of the gospel in our labor with the children. So we believe in all the localities that this word that we're hearing can be taken back. So again, if you didn't have a chance to sign up, there should be a sheet in the back. That way the audio from the messages, the link will be emailed to you, and we'll let you know more of the information regarding this conference. Our schedule for now is that we're going to take a quick break. I think we have one announcement. Then we're going to take a lunch break. So we'll reconvene a little bit before 2:30. So we'll begin the message again at 2:30 with a title of Compiling Lessons for a Proper Humanity. So that's a little bit of the sales hook Brother Tom was referencing to. Come back for that fellowship. So we have one announcement.
Saints, the brothers were gracious to give me this opportunity to announce again and to post information concerning the Israel Summer Study Tour. Some of you may be aware of this. It was begun last year in Southern California with about 150 saints traveling to Israel and visiting the biblical sites and covering the life of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This will take place again this year, only it'll originate from Northern California. Southern California will go on to cover a second module, which will be on the formation of the nation of Israel through until the establishment of the kingdom of David. So I want to put on the board here a website that will give you the way to register and to... the way to register, gather information about it, and then register through the website, okay? And that is I'm not very good at this, so our Israel tour.com/ISST. Not to be mistaken with SST, Summer School of Truth. This is the Israel Summer Study Tour. And the cost of this tour per person, including airfare and accommodations and food and transportation and entrance into all the major sites, is $3,000. Yeah, that'll cover it. Given there's some fluctuation in airfares, but basically it's about $1,000 for the tour, about $1,800 for the airfare, depending on who you get your airfare through. So some of the churches, if we've already had a chance to fellowship about this with you, we're going to fellowship with other churches in the area here. But you can find all the information you need to register and to present to the other saints, young people. This is focused on the 7th grade through the 12th grade, and including, of course, serving ones and parents who may need to join if their children are very young. Okay? So we wanted to announce this, and the deadline for registration is April the 15th, April the 15th of this year. Okay? Thank you. Amen.
Just one clarification. If you're not familiar with any places to find lunch in Berkeley, here's a recommendation. We're right now on Haste and Dana. If you walk one block that way, you're on Telegraph. And there's a lot of food options. There's other things there, but there's food options on Telegram. We're looking for lunch right now, remember. So if you go to Telegraph and turn right one block, there's all kinds of cuisine. If you go to one block and turn left, there's also all kinds of cuisine. So there's also options if you walk down to Shattuck, down the south. Right. So, again, we'll come back in time for the meeting at 2:30. We're dismissed.